Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each of the stories, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Ancient past is highlighted in an Angus trail in Scotland, and the earthquake in Italy unearths prehistoric cave dwellings. Well-preserved monumental temple is discovered in Turkey, and we report on an archaeological walk on Salisbury Plain this coming weekend. 3,000-year-old golden bracelet is found in Northern Ireland, and a Neolithic flute is found in Mongolia. There's a story about a Bronze Age rubbish tip unearthed on Iona on the Scottish island, and Iranian archaeologists are returning to a 7,500-year-old site. Three Neanderthal subgroups are confirmed in a new genetic study, and finally, an ancient rock painting is discovered at Machu Picchu. It's been walked past by over 50,000 tourists every year. The connection between a prehistoric past and an Angus estate in Scotland is being highlighted with a new trail for tourists. The Dun Estate near Montrose is best known for its impressive 18th century William Adam designed mansion, but the National Trust for Scotland is shedding some light on the area's earlier inhabitants. The house's grounds include five sites of international interest, three sites of ancient occupation and two burial areas, pointing to a history that stretches back more than 4,000 years. One of the most prominent landmarks is Gallows Now, a large burial mound which is thought to date from around 2000 BCE. It takes its sinister name from the local tradition that it was once used as a place of execution in medieval times. The National Trust for Scotland has now erected a series of information panels around the estate to put the sites into context and take the visitor back to its earlier times. The House of Dun property manager, John McKenna, said that there's far more to the estate than first meets the eye, and as the house is the main attraction, people often miss the sights in the surrounding landscape. Well, actually, that's almost got me wanting to go and have a look as well. Last week's powerful earthquake in the central Italian Abruzzo regional capital, L'Aquila, has unearthed prehistoric dwellings. Some of the vaulted caves measure up to 5 metres in height, according to Italian geologists. One of the biggest caves is located near the bus terminal and may date back 15,000 years. Some of the caves were further hollowed out by the first shepherds to inhabit the area, who would have used them as shelters for their animals. While they represent a fascinating archaeological find, the cave's emergence has worried geologists, as it shows the fragility of the sediment on which the area is built. The magnitude 6.3 earthquake recently destroyed or seriously damaged several thousand buildings in the region and killed 295 people, leaving 55,000 homeless. The discovery of a remarkably well-preserved monumental temple in Turkey, thought to be constructed during the time of King Solomon in the 10th and 9th centuries BCE, sheds light on the so-called Dark Age. Uncovered by the University of Toronto's Tayanat Archaeological Project in the summer of 2008, the discovery cast doubt on the traditional view that the transition from the Late Bronze Age to the Early Iron Age was violent, sudden, and culturally disruptive. Ancient sources depict an era of widespread famine, ethnic conflict, and population movement. This is thought to have precipitated a prolonged Dark Age, marked by cultural decline and ethnic strife, during the first centuries of the Iron Age, but recent discoveries, including the Tayanit excavations, have revealed that some ruling dynasties survived the collapse of the Great Bronze Age powers. Intriguingly, the early Iron Age settlement at Tayanat shows evidence of strong cultural connections, if not the direct presence of foreign settlers from the Aegean world, the traditional homeland of the Sea Peoples. Excavations uncovered the temple's southern approach, which once faced a broad stone-paved courtyard and consisted of a monumental staircase and porticoed entrance, supported by a large, ornately carved basalt column base. In addition, fragments of monumental stelae carved in Luwian hieroglyphic script were found. They are thought to have once stood on stone platforms in the courtyard. The building's central room was burned by an intense fire and was filled with heavily charged brick and wood, as well as substantial quantities of bronze metal, including riveted pieces and carved ivory fragments, clearly the remains of furniture or wall fixings. Fragments of gold and silver foil were also found, along with a carved eye inlay from a human figure. The temple's inner sanctuary will be the focus of a 2009 field season, which begins on July the 1st. Well, I'll tell you this, that's one site I would love to get involved in. Eat your heart out, readers of the Lost Ark. A walk led by Roy Canham to explore the archaeology of Salisbury Plain Training Area in Wiltshire, England, is organised for Saturday the 25th of April at 2 p.m. It's a rare opportunity to see the historic landscape in areas that are usually closed off to the public. This year the walk will be to the group of Neolithic long barrows and earthworks around Tilshead Lodge. Before his retirement in 2006, Roy was the county archaeologist, and he has an unrivalled knowledge of the archaeology of the county, and was largely responsible for persuading the MOD to introduce measures to protect archaeological remains on their land from damage during military training, some of which will be seen and explained along the walk. The afternoon will involve a walk of about 2 miles, some of it uphill and over rough ground, so suitable clothing and footwear is essential. Because of the restricted access to MOD land, a coach will transport you to and from the walk. Further information on times and the coach pickup points are available from the booking secretary on, oh, you've got a pen ready here, 01380-727-369. I'll say that again, that was 01380-727-369. Or send an email to WANHS at WiltshireHeritage, all one word, .org.uk. A County Tyrone family in Northern Ireland could be in line for a reward after finding a rare Bronze Age gold bracelet on their land. The farmer accidentally unearthed the precious artefact while ploughing on a field near Castle Derg last April. The intricate item is believed to date from around 1000 BCE. An inquest was held in Belfast at which the item was officially classified as treasure. Under British law, a treasure trove inquest must be held by the coroner to determine the significance of such a find. The finder of the item, as well as the landowner, are often then entitled to a discretionary reward. Speaking after the inquest, the farmer said that he saw it and knew they had something special because it looked extremely old, but it was still in amazing condition. An expert witness, Richard Warner, a former archaeologist at the Ulster Museum, said that although a detailed analysis of the bracelet has not been carried out yet, similar objects have been found to contain as much as 80% pure gold. It would have been owned by a wealthy person, possibly a priest or high-ranking warrior. He also added, Mr. Sherrod described the bracelet as a remarkable find and urged anyone else finding such items to report them to the authorities. According to the National Museum of Ireland, a similar piece dating to between 900 and 700 BCE was found around 300 years ago in Killymoon in County Tyrone. Although unlike the find at Killymoon, which was a plain design, this recent discovery is highly decorative. So there you go. If you find something, hand it in. You never know what you might get. And it's also adding to our shared history. Traditional Chinese musical instruments are believed to have originated from the reign of the Yellow Emperor some 2,000 years ago, but a recent discovery by the Qingfeng Cultural Academy in Inner Mongolia suggests that Chinese musical instruments could be 3,000 years older than previously thought. Archaeologists have examined a flute made of bone, which was unearthed at the Jinglonghua site in Inner Mongolia in 1986. The ancient flute has been kept at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences in Beijing, and it wasn't until recently that the flute was shown to the public. The flute was made from the bones of a bird called a bustard, and is 18 centimetres long, with the finger holes still easily visible. But sadly, the main structure has partially eroded. Experts have replicated the piece, and professional musicians have been invited to play the flute. Evidence has been found of Bronze Age activity on the Scottish island of Iona following an archaeological dig there. A collection of bones, shells, pottery and tools were uncovered by archaeologists from the National Trust for Scotland. The items were believed to date back to between 930 BCE and 810 BCE. The Trust said that they suggested the existence of an ancient rubbish tip used by a prehistoric settlement on the island. The limpet and whelk shells, animal bones, shards of pottery, flint and large cobblestone tools were unearthed last September in a sandy bank of a burn on the west side of Iona. The results of radiocarbon testing from the Scottish University's Environmental Research Centre in East Kilbride have confirmed to a 95% chance that the midden dates to between the day 930 BCE and 810. Trust archaeologist Derek Alexander said that this is a significant find for Iona, as the midden contains useful information that may help shed some light on what life on prehistoric Iona was like. However, while it is quite clear that the remains are domestic rubbish, whether they relate to a settlement in the immediate vicinity is still unknown. So, Derek, get back out there and find that settlement. I myself am actually looking forward to what we're going to be up to in June, when, along with the National Trust for Scotland Thistle Camp, we'll be excavating at an Iron Age hill fort down at St Abbs. So if any of you Thistle Campers are listening, I'll see you there. A team of Iranian archaeologists began the second season of excavations at the northern mound of the 7,500-year-old Seolk site near the central city of Kashan last week. The mound is the ruins of a village which is considered to be Iran's earliest rural settlement. A wall comprising 13 courses of mud bricks was discovered during the first season of the new excavations, carried out by a joint Iranian and British archaeological team in 2008. It's one of the earliest examples of Iranian architecture so far found. The second season of excavations will run for a month. The cultural strata that they're actually going to have to get through in the end is 14 metres thick, so I suspect they'll be there for quite some time. Located in the suburbs of the city of Kashan, Seolk Tepe was excavated for the first time by French archaeologists in 1933, 1934 and 1937. The site, believed to be the world's oldest ziggurat, consists of two mounds known as Northern and Southern Seolk, which are located about 600 metres apart. The artefacts unearthed in the northern mound are earlier than those in the southern one. And as early as 3200 BCE, inhabitants used a type of script known as Proto-Elamite, whose signs combined pictograms and numerals. The site was eventually abandoned at the end of the Iron Age. That's one site I'm looking forward to finding out more about. The Neanderthals inhabited a vast geographical area extending from Europe to Western Asia and Middle East 30 to 100,000 years ago. Now, a group of researchers are questioning whether or not the Neanderthals consisted of a homogeneous group or separate subgroups, between which slight differences could be observed. Paleoanthropological studies based on skeletal evidence have offered some support for the existence of three different subgroups, a Western European one, a Southern European, and one in the Levant. Researchers from the CNRS Laboratory of Anthropology at the University of Marseille in France have given further consideration to the question of diversity of Neanderthals by studying the genetic structure of the mitochondrial DNA and also by analysing the genetic variability. The study was possible thanks to the publication, since 1997, of 15 mitochondrial DNA sequences that originated from 12 Neanderthals. The new study confirms the presence of three separate subgroups and suggests the existence of a fourth in Western Asia. The researchers hope that one day this methodology might be applied to questions concerning Neanderthal cultural diversity, for example the lithic industry, and to the availability of natural resources in the territory. This could provide new insights into the history and extinction of the Neanderthal. Dr. Rinaldo Morales, Jr., Assistant Professor of Art History at the University of Central Arkansas, has confirmed a major discovery in the world of rock art, an ancient rock painting at a burial site from the Inca site of Machu Picchu in Peru. Morales discovered the painting in 2000 while on a three-day graduate school research trip. The painting is located on the UNESCO World Heritage Site of Machu Picchu, which has been subject to scientific study for nearly 100 years. However, after trying to find research on the painting over the past 8 years, Morales said he's not found any mention of this particular painting, even though the nearly 50-foot rock on which it appears is a popular tourist attraction, passed by approximately 70,000 tourists in 2007 alone. Morales has searched through the research literature, but does not think there is any mention of this art anywhere to be found. Although Morales discovered the painting in 2000, he never actually thought about the importance of what it could be until recently, as he assumed, after first seeing it in 2000, that the painting had already been discovered and researched. The black painting, likely done with charcoal or mineral manganese, has developed a calcium deposit over it, which Morales said could take 1,000 years or more to form. Although the painting is in an Inca environment, Morales said that he does not believe he's discovered a painting from that culture, because Inca art is normally dominated by rectilinear geometrical patterns, whereas this painting is primarily curvilinear. The first avenue of research will be to try and date the painting and then assign it to a cultural group. Well, just to show that you can find things out there even though the place has been studied for 100 years, that's a bit of exciting news, and I look forward to finding out if or not he actually has got a new painting. You're going to be finding a lot more if you go along to Past Horizons, of course, the new magazine we're working on right now, and that will be coming out in the first couple of weeks of May. Until then, of course, you can see some of the back issues if you just go along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. Or if you're fancying getting involved in an archaeological project somewhere in the world, if you just go along again to pasthorizons.com, you'll be able to find one of over 330 projects going on around the world. Can I also remind people that there's lots of new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a calendar, library guidance section, and of course the famous Badger Forum on www.bajr.org. And of course, more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.